from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Come on, Gerard. Come on, AVP. Come on, TC. Come on, everyone in the New England Patriots. Listen to Collinsworth just gushing over the performance tonight of Drake May, not dropping his eyes, staying focused, great arm angles, delightful delivery, a perfect pass to Polk. It was actually a really nice pass, Andy, that I would say that was like the focal point pass of the drive that resulted in a touchdown to your guy, the one touchdown of the night for the New England Patriots as well, a pass to your guy. Kevin Harris made a nice little play on that one and scooted in the end zone to put the Patriots up 7-0 early. Chad Ryland added a field goal later on as well, but it was just not to be their night, as of course the Commanders won the game 20-10 as well. Your stat line for your favorite New England Patriots, well, Drake May, 13 of 20, 126 yards and a touchdown. Not bad for about a quarter and two-thirds action as well. The leading receivers, leading rushers were immaterial at this point as well. Chad Ryland did convert his one field goal on the night. Joey Sly did not. That was a 64-yard attempt that was really kind of a waste. I think at that point, Andy, I would have rather seen Drake May just try to chuck one down there, a little pre-half Hail Mary. But the topic of the night here on the Six Rings postgame show, why all the doublespeak from Gerard Mayo, Alex Van Pelt and company? Why not just be completely honest and say there was always a plan in place and we were never going to deviate from it unless there were an injury, no matter what happened, because it is clear as a bell, clear as day, clear as a whistle to all of us that watched these games and attended these practices and more that Drake May is your best option now. I would love to see, I would love to hear what, after he watches the film, what do you think tomorrow morning when he's on the Greg Hill show, what do you think Gerard Mayo is going to say about having had a chance to not only watch the game and try not to get too infuriated by the play of the offensive line? What do you think he's going to say after he watches the game film as far as like, nope, you know, Jacoby's our best quarterback? How is he even going to say that without smiling or laughing?
I think he's going to focus on details in a way, not be so general as something, say, you know, Drake played really well. Drake made some plays. We saw some good things. He's trended in there. He's push. He's made a push, I think was the word Van Pelt used the other day.
A push.
Stick to that and then say, but we're also going to stick to our plan. And we have a veteran. And their big thing is they've said, you know, don't look at just the games. Look at the totality of everything Brissett has done since he's been here, you know, through the spring and the summer. Now, I would argue he hasn't been great on the practice field either. There's been times, and you mentioned it, early in camp, he was the far better quarterback, as he should be, as the pro-ready veteran with experience in Van Pelt's system. But basically in the month of August, Drake May's been better on the whole. the totality of the month of August. So, yeah, I think he'll fixate on being really gushingly positive about Drake May, but then respectful of Brissett and go that direction. Now, maybe he'll have an epiphany, right? I mean, he's got a long flight home. He's going to be watching film. Maybe he'll change his mind, but I don't think he will, and I think he'll probably, the way he has all along, he'll clean up the rhetoric. He'll clean up the dialogue a little bit and present it in a more, I guess, digestible fashion. Because right now, I don't think anybody's buying what he's selling in terms of Drake May and the quarterback situation.
It's almost like he comes at, like, he's both the president and then the press secretary that comes out and says what the president meant was, but it's actually the same person.
Right. Absolutely. No, there's some truth to that. And that's where I'm not saying Gerard Mayo shouldn't be the head coach of the Patriots because he's making mistakes. My point is he's allowed to make mistakes. Robert Kraft believes in him. He's been put in this position to lead the Patriots, not just for a month or 6 months or one season, but Robert Kraft believes he has the next great head coach of the Patriots. He knows there's going to be some rookie mistakes. Oh, I probably shouldn't say thunder 17 times in my introductory press conference. Yeah. I probably shouldn't say burn some cash in my first radio appearance. Like, so why is Drake May not afforded the same opportunity to be a rookie quarterback who everyone believes in and go out and make some rookie mistakes? And I know people will say, oh, he's going to get hurt. Okay, then he probably should never play because, as Tom Brady said, it's 100% injury rate. Joe Burrow gets hurt. You know, Patrick Mahomes has been hurt. Mm-hmm. Everybody's going to get hurt. So it's not an injury thing. And the line excuse, oh, the line stinks. You can't put him out there behind that line. Well, guess what? The line's going to stink for the rest of the season, so that means you're icing it. The line's going to get worse in all likelihood because somebody's going to
really
get hurt. Yeah.
This line can actually get worse.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It could get worse because when Mike Onwenu gets hurt or David Andrews gets hurt, and by the way, two starters are already hurt. And I say starters in air quotes, or I don't even know what I say. Starters, sarcastically starters.
Is Vidarian Lowe really a air quote starter?
He's not a starter. He's a guy who was going to start. That's how I would phrase it.
Is that how you would put it in the program?
Yes. But he's banged up. Now City So is banged up. So guys that you don't even really want to start but are better than the next option are already banged up. So, yes, this line could get worse. So if you're afraid to put Drake May out there behind a bad offensive line, well, see you in 2025, Drake.
But I heard that the Patriots were going to be aggressive after cutdown day when the rosters are trimmed from 90 to 53 on Tuesday, and that they were going to scour the waivers, that it's an ongoing process and it's a, you know, like an unfinished Kubrick film. Like, it's just going to, like, something they're going to be working on all season long.
Yeah, because in a league where, I don't know, it seems like at least a third of the league has offensive line troubles, starting offensive linemen are just going to be available a dime a dozen on the waiver wire and in free agency in August. It doesn't happen. This is what you got. They're going to get bodies. They will get other warm bodies, and we will learn to dislike those warm bodies when they take the field and we see them in a uniform, because the good linemen get paid money and are on other teams right now. And will continue to be on other teams.
Yes, and not likely to be released from those teams.
Watch LSU. You want hope for the offensive line, watch LSU and get Matt Campbell.
Is that your guy now?
That's my guy.
I thought it was Will Turner or something like that.
No, Matt Campbell.
Matt Campbell. All right,
isn't that
Matt
his name?
Campbell, that's the guy. I'm super, super into looking at a tackle on LSU and lusting after him being a part of the Patriots a year from now. What I'm really into is, and I know it's not fair because we can wonder about it all night long, and then it's still going to do us a whole lot of no good because they made the decisions that they did. How in the world did they ever possibly think that this was going to be good enough for an offensive line on a professional football team, period, no matter if it was Jacoby Brissett, Jacoby Ellsbury, you know, Dave Jacoby of ESPN starting out there? How in the world did they possibly think? How could the one carryover from one regime, the Bill Belichick era, to the Gerard Mayo one, aside from the uniforms and the logo, be that they both completely ignored the left tackle issue? How could that be the case? I'm flummoxed by that.
Well, it happens all the time. There was no way they were going to acquire elite talent to fill all their holes. If you wanted Joe Alt, you could have taken Joe Alt. And we'd be talking about, oh my God, I can't believe we have to watch Jacoby Brissett for 17 games, right? If you wanted Marvin Harrison, we'd be talking about, oh my God, I can't believe we have no line and no quarterback, but we get a receiver. You weren't going to fill them all. Like, mm-hmm. Go back and look at the linemen. There weren't good offensive linemen. It's why I said the perfect offensive lineman for them, unfortunately, was their guy, Trent Brown, who nobody wanted any part of anymore. And I agree with that. I didn't want any part of him last year. But
yeah,
there just weren't a lot of options available in free agency. Guys like Jermaine Illuminor, former Patriot legend, were like relatively sought after free agent linemen. So, no, it's Will Campbell, by the way.
Jonah Williams. It is Will Campbell. Okay. Yeah. What about, you know, there's Jonah Williams from Cincinnati. I mean, he probably would have been competent adjacent, as we like to say.
You would have paid more and still not liked him and thought he was not very good. So,
it's not my money.
They tried to duct tape it together. And like we all learn, when you go cheap and you think, this will be good enough. Oftentimes, narrator says, it wasn't. It wasn't good enough.
Hey, those paper plates that I got at the dollar store looked just as good as the ones I would get at Shaw's. And then you know what happened? The steak tips that you cooked absolutely perfectly with the potato salad and everything just weighed right through.
Fell right on the deck, and the dog scarfed them up before you could grab them.
I was so hungry. That was medium rare.
Or those, hey, these cornflakes are just as good as Kellogg's. And you have a mushy bowl, and you're like, this is slop that I wouldn't feed to a dog.
Oh, crispy squares, crispy hexagons.
All that crap. Like Q-tips. Ah, these are just as good. No, that's a cardboard stick that makes your ear bleed.
Right.
Like, no, sometimes you got to spend, but we all talk ourselves into these terrible ideas.
Yeah, we really shouldn't.
And Elliot Wolf and Gerard Mayo did it. I bet they sat down in a meeting and they're like, no, we can get Okorafor. He played left tackle in college. And we'll get, you know, Vidarian Lowe isn't really that bad. If he ever learns to extend his arms, he could be a good left tackle.
There's this one guy on the radio that keeps calling him Vidarian Blow, but, you know.
I'm not doing that anymore. He's a nice man.
Oh, did you get a chance to talk with him?
Yeah, I talked to him last week. Seems like a really nice man. I'm not sure he's very good, but seems like a nice man.
I grew
a conscience. I'm like the Grinch.
When did you develop that?
And
what the hell happened?
Three times.
You developed a conscience. Oh, that's it.
That's not
convenient.
Good for Tuesday. That's not good for afternoon drive.
That's poorly timed for you being the co-host of the afternoon drive time program guy.
Yep. That's
not
great.
Do you think, before we get to Drake May's comments in his post-game presser, just one more question about Jacoby Brissett. Do you believe that there is some sort of like tacit agreement, a loyalty, a promise between Wolf, May, AVP, whomever, and Jacoby Brissett that he was not going to get railroaded, that he was not going to get supplanted or usurped, that no matter what, couldn't get Wally Pipped or Mo Lewis or whatever, that he would definitely get a chance to start this team, like at least like the first four games, to prove his own value, to try to get in, you know, keep his career going in the league, become a vested 10-year veteran next year? Or is this just the sort of, as you were saying, like the improvisational jazz coaching of a guy that is trying to figure it out on the fly in the form of Gerard Mayo?
I don't know if there was a promise. I think there was probably an expectation on Jacoby Brissett's part and an indication from the team, you're going to start early in the year. I do. And we had that. We were told that publicly, right? From day one, Jacoby Brissett's our starter. And so to hear that publicly, I'm assuming that was sort of the indication privately, behind the scenes from AVP and these guys. So yes, I think Jacoby Brissett expected to start and has expected all along. And I think his expectations will be fulfilled in Cincinnati.
All right. Speaking of Drake May and his post-game comments, Zach, if you wouldn't mind queuing those up right now, let's get quarterback Drake May, not the starter, according to
second-best quarterback.
Yep, Gerard Mayo, the second-best quarterback currently on the New England Patriots roster, Drake May and his post-game comments following the defeat at the hands of the Commanders.
Well, Drake, just what was it like for you kind of taking another step forward? It looked like tonight when you got out there.
Yeah, you know, I think it felt good being out there. I think the biggest thing is just hurting ourselves offensively, stalling drives and penalties, and I got to get us out of the huddle probably faster. Other than that, had a snap on the ground, just little things like that. Got to clean up, but at the same time, it's a good learning experience for us, and get ready for, you know, when things are, you know, start counting. So
kind of wowed all of New England with that play that got called back, unfortunately, on that penalty. Take us through that play with the
AKJ. Yeah, I think they went cloud. We kind of had a high-low concept to the left. I was trying to work backside and end up getting outside of the pocket, and I think it would have been close if I passed the line. It was definitely real close. I'm not sure what the TV copy looked like, but KJ just making a play, and Bummer got called back, but just same thing, you know, just hurting ourselves and a two-minute drive. Can't do that.
On that first drive you got in the game, or down the field for a touchdown, what was working for you guys, you feel like, on that first
drive? Yeah, I think the guys are just doing their jobs. I think that's the biggest thing, executing plays that we practice all week. Finding guys, my job is to get the ball to them, and, backed up. I mean, you had a snap, a low snap, and probably should have caught it, and I think we were second and 18 from there. Just can't shoot ourselves in the foot, little things like that. Against a good football team, like we got lucky tonight, so just got to start better.
How much different do you feel you are now as opposed to when this training camp started?
Yeah, I think it's I think it's been awesome training camp. Not only does it get to see our defense, but to mix in other defenses and going out there and playing and feeling like getting hit. I think we're getting there. I think it's been fun out there with some of the rooks. JP made some plays tonight. I'm sitting over here in the corner. Just get some of the rookies together and, find out Layden was in at right guard. So just kind of mulling, kind of finding our groove. So, it's all awesome camp and, it's been tough too. And our rookie season's been long. We've been going at it, since before draft. So, just looking forward to, getting to see what the NFL season's like.
Jake, it looks like you got jostled a couple times coming away from center. You got stepped on one time.
Yeah.
Tell us what was happening.
Yeah, I'm just trying to secure the snap. I got to get out of there. But also, I think the big dude, the nose tackle, I think 91 was the number. He's a good player. So I got to get out of there faster. And, Nick's doing a heck of a job fighting in there. So he's going to get away from center.
With the fumbled snap, what's the issue on that?
I just think, it's when you practice, pregame and over on the sideline, it's a little different than when somebody's up there right against you. So we figured something out and think on the sideline after that first drive, and from there on, it felt good. So,
Drake, on the position of Jalen, just what did you see there on that play?
Yeah, I just had a high low crossing concept. JP did a nice job weaving through traffic and to try to get him a good ball and catch him run from there. So I think he does a nice job, mixing up different spots with JP, playing outside, inside, or inside at night, and does a good job of getting open. So my job is to get him the rock and let him do his thing.
Drake, would you feel ready to play week one?
Yeah, I think I would feel ready. I think I'm ready for whoever this football team asks of me and ready to get out there and try to help us beat the Bengals week one.
Drake, you mentioned getting in and out of the huddle. How much do you think you've improved in terms of operation,
command of the huddle? Yeah, I think command the huddle is a huge thing for quarterback. I think I'm getting there. Kind of trying to improve every week. I think one thing on the sideline, one of the offensive linemen said, I just go in there, I speak real fast. I kind of do here in media too. I just got to slow down sometimes. Just hearing the play and kind of look around and like I said, a little command of the huddle. But other than that, I feel like I have my eyes on the play clock well and just kind of hurrying guys up to try to get the playoff.
So. 20 camp practices, 3 preseason games. Kind of, what have you learned now, basically, as you get ready?
Yeah. Biggest thing playing probably learned is just just next play mentality. Whether it's a good play, a bad play, play you wish you had back. Had a few of those tonight. Let's move on to the next play. It's the next play, type league. It's next week type league. In the NFL is what I'm learning. And other than that, just enjoy it. Have fun. It's sad. But the reality is some of these guys, especially these rookies, are going to be gone. Come next week and just enjoy those days. With those guys, creating great memories and enjoy the times out here with the fellas.
From your talking to AVP earlier last week, he mentioned just pre-snap, like the tools at your disposal, especially to handle like pressure and things like that. How do you feel like you've come along in that area?
Yeah, I think it's huge in this offense. Especially when we're not out here and preseason with some vanilla looks, especially pressure-wise. I feel like I'm a smart kid that can, did a lot of protection stuff in college. Me and my center was all on us, protection-wise, and I feel like we did a good job not having free runners, back there. But it's a different kind of league here now. They try to scheme you up, so definitely the tools, different tools to protect myself and really protect the offense. I feel like I'm getting there. I've done a few of them in practice, so trying to work through them and see different looks each week. So, thank y'all.
Sounds to me like somebody who's figuring things out. Sounds to me like someone who is getting more comfortable play by play, day by day, practice by practice, week by week. Sounds to me like someone who's ready for the spotlight. So let's give – no, actually, hold on. Let's actually just give it to the other guy because that's what we said because that was the plan. Heaven forbid that we alter the plan because, no, this is where we said we were going to go out to eat. And even though there's a two-hour wait to go here – and people recently said it wasn't as good as it used to be. This is what we said we were going to do. This is where we said we were going to eat. Like, but you can go somewhere else. It's okay. There's plenty of other restaurants in town. As a matter of fact, some of the other ones that have seating sooner than later may actually be better. But no, this is the plan. This is also, by the way, side note, in listening to Drake May, I'm reminded the Patriots, in addition to having a woe line, or you call them the cocaine line because they blow all over or whatever it was that you said earlier tonight. I would just like to also point out the Pats need a backup center because all the other ones can't snap. And correct me if I'm wrong, Andy, snapping the football to the quarterback is the primary job of the center.
That would seem accurate. Now, I will say, when it's under center, sometimes there's a little bit more of a gray area. Quarterback pulling out too quickly, you know, his hands aren't in the right place. You know, Drake said they kind of figured it out after the first drive on the sideline. And Nick Leverett is kind of learning on the fly here. He's not a career center, so... I know there was a lot of activity on Twitter that David Andrews, who got an extension this offseason, should ask to renegotiate again because his value increases all the time.
He really should. Hey, y'all, remember what you gave me this offseason? Yeah, I'd like double that now, please.
Yep, not enough.
What happened, by the way, do we have any word on what the hell happened to Jake Andrews? Wasn't he drafted last year in the fourth round to be the backup center, and everyone had their whole like, oh, the lineage of Andrews shall continue because now the Patriots got one from the Big Ten. Jake Andrews, he's going to be great.
What's his injury?
I have no idea.
Shoot, I had it. I'd have to check my notes. I have it.
You had the same injury?
No. I had it written down what the injury was, but he's going to miss the whole year. So out of sight, out of mind.
Oh, for he gone. Goodness flakes. Really? The whole season?
Oh, yeah, he gone. He on IR for the year.
That's bad news, Bears.
That's at least this team's problems, quite honestly. You will not be bitching about Jake Andrews down the line. You'll have many other things to be bitching about. Don't worry.
Back to the phones we go, Andy. Seems like the South Coast is a hotbed of Pat's thoughts tonight. Matt is in New Bedford, wants to talk. Jacoby Brissett, what's up, Matt?
Hey, guys. Hey, Andy. Always a pleasure. You're proud of the South Coast once in a while. But, you know, I'm thinking about this whole offensive line thing. We all know it's been trash, and last year they didn't make any major moves this year. But if I was Jacoby, think about all the teams he's been with. I think he's at 8 or 9 offensive coordinators, so he does bring a lot of knowledge of different sets as good long point. As they can protect him even a little bit. Does that make sense?
For me, no, because I don't think he's very good. I think he is what he is. He's a guy who's never really won a starting job. He's started, but he's never really beat out challengers. And I just think Drake May has shown enough in a league where young quarterbacks play. That's kind of, Gerard used the phrase, do business is being done. That's the reality. When you take a guy.
Yeah, he said that at the beginning of the week and he said it the other day,
Yeah, so. Now I get what you're saying.
You think bringing Jake in, you think him getting hurt behind this line is going to make any sense for anybody?
How do we know he's going to get hurt?
Most guys do if they don't get a good line in front of them if they're rookies.
Some guys do, some guys don't. I mean, yes, Joe Burrow got hurt, and now he's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. He's taking his team to a Super Bowl. To me, if you're playing not to get hurt, then you don't play.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you, gentlemen. Have a safe night. Be well.
You too.
Thank you. You have a safe night and a good morning, since it technically is at this point, at least on the East Coast as well. Appreciate the call, Matt. Yeah, it's football. It's contact sport. Jacoby Brissett does not move around as well as he used to. He was never although he became regionally famous for that one Thursday night game where he did run the ball a whole lot against the Houston Texans in that shutout W. That's not exactly what he does that well anymore. As a matter of fact, I'm not even really sure what he does that well anymore. Though that was a good point by Matt that he does have a breadth of experience and knowledge, having played in so many different systems over the course of his almost decade-long NFL career. Is that enough to overcome his physical limitations and the natural gifts and the playmaking ability and the excitement that Drake May brings? Apparently in the eyes of his coaches and coordinators, it is, or... Again, at least if they're just going because it's an abundance of caution and it's the line and the Mac Jones factor, boy, that's coaching scared. And the one thing I do know about making decisions based off fear, you never win when you make decisions based off of fear as opposed to gut or true belief.
Right. And again, I don't. I wish I knew, like, honestly, when they sat down, whenever it was, April, May, and said, okay, Drake May's our quarterback. We just drafted him. This is the plan. You know, these are the benchmarks, the landmarks, the time frames. What was it? Have they truly not altered it? Have they altered it some? Like, I just don't know what their thinking would have been and what could have. Was there no way in heck nothing was going to make them move from that spot? Because as you were alluding to, like, you know, the phrase in gambling, scared money don't make money kind of thing. That's sort of sports. That's professional sports. You can't be scared, especially when a guy shows ability, shows evolution and development in a short period of time. I don't like that's again, that's sort of the mixed messages. We're hearing that he's doing a lot of things really well and he processes really well and he's evolved with his footwork and he's evolved with this and evolved with that. And then it's like, but he's not ready. We can't put him out there. Nope, he can't get out there. Whereas, you know, Dan Orlovsky, I keep going back to it. Dan Orlovsky was his biggest critic, said it was going to be 2 years before he should play.
Mm-hmm.
And then last week against after the Eagles game, he's like, best friend for Drake May right now is reps. Get him out there. And it's like, oh, well, he's, as Collinsworth said, well, his best friend is not going to hang out with him then because he ain't getting reps. Now, that's why I've sort of pinpointed that build up to San Francisco, the long week coming off of Thursday, where he probably will get reps that I think could lead to the first start a week later, the home game against the Dolphins and all of that. But if you want to get him reps, you got to get him reps. I'm going to go overly simple there. If you want to get him reps, then you better get him reps. Otherwise,
that sounds like a tweet from Magic Johnson.
Right. Exactly. Or Jim Rice doing the Nesson postgame show.
Right.
If you want to hit a fastball, you got to swing at a fastball or something. But I find this a little tuned out, Andy, though.
At that point, like, do you think if it's the first month, sorry to step on your toes there, but like if it's the first month and Brissett plays and maybe low by the grace of whatever they do, you know, I guess they do, you know, 1-3, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are the fans going to be interested or are you going to potentially lose them?
No, because there'll always be the interest in Drake May. Thanks in part to the last couple weeks where people saw good things and now are excited about what Drake May. Because Drake May, when he has played, hasn't just gotten attention from Patriot Nation. If you, you know, monitor social media and those things, he's gotten attention nationally. People see, you know, sort of the way we've looked at Caleb Williams or Jaden Daniels highlights and say, wow, looks like, you know, Chicago or Washington has something. He's going to be fun, blah, blah, blah. People nationally are doing that about Drake May. So I think Patriot Nation will be very much engaged whenever Drake May gets his first start, week one, week two, week five, whatever that may be. So
yeah, I did a search of Twitter just in mentioning that as well, and it's impressive plays. Drake May versus Commanders. Drake May was cooking tonight.
Yep.
Drake May is him. Look at this throw. Yeah, there's your Lewis. Okay, that's it. Lewis Riddick right here. Start Drake May, like you said.
So I think there will be interest, and hell, maybe there's some business aspect to that where – you know, a secondary benefit of the plan, quote unquote, of not playing him right away is you have opening day, you have the first couple weeks of hope and everything. And then when that hope is starting to dissipate, well, week five, we have Drake May. So let's reignite some hope. The young guy, maybe he can concoct some sort of midseason rally. I don't know that I would be thinking in that way. I think the most important thing is to get Drake May experience, get him on the field, because I keep going back to the very simple fact. And I think Devin McCourty brought this up on the NBC broadcast a little bit. Defensive players know who the better quarterback is. They've been
correct
facing these quarterbacks. And it's like, and remember, Devin McCourty has admitted that the Zappy Mac back and forth, there was like split in the locker room. And I don't think you want to go down that road where, yes, everybody loves Jacoby and they think he's a leader and a great veteran and they respect his experience and all that. But I don't know that you want to go down the road where you have defensive players being like, yeah, we practiced every day against both guys in August, and I thought the young guy was better. I thought he made more plays against us, those types of things. If you're going to preach competition and be a meritocracy, then Drake May should be playing.
Guy even made a great pass tonight. He fell out of one of his – actually, he didn't fall out of it. Sidy So stepped on his foot.
Yeah.
knocked his shoe off. He still stood in the pocket, dropped his arm angle down. I'm watching it again now, and flicked a first down screen pass to Jamichael Hasty. By the way, side note, Jamichael Hasty is going to get the first pull from the keg when we come back in just a couple minutes and do the which guy's stock rose and which guy's stock dipped tonight in the final preseason game as we get to cut down day on Tuesday as well. I thought he looked excellent tonight as well, but yeah, it's all Drake May. That is your talker right there, folks. All right, Andy, when we come back, we'll do that quick little look at the 53-man roster with cut down day coming tomorrow, now that it's technically legally Monday. Roster's going from 90 to 53 players. Who's in, who's out, who impressed, who distressed as well. We'll do your thumbs up, thumbs down, and put a bow on this puppy. One big fat break to go here. 617-779-7937. If you're a night owl and you want to get in some thoughts on Drake May, Gerard Mayo, and the New England Patriots here with Fitzy and Hart on the Six Rings Postgame Show live on WEEI.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Just a few minutes left here on tonight's Six Rings postgame show, one where we have focused largely on the quarterback debate, or apparently I think we're to find out soon enough that it won't be much of a debate, that it does appear as though Jacoby Brissett will be the starter, though not officially named a starter, because we were told this week, Andy, there is no official starter. That's what Gerard Mayo said in one of his many one side of the mouth and out the other comes something different pressers this week. We have been discussing what an impressive performance it was tonight from Drake May, but more to the point that it looks like it is his time to get those reps, learn on the fly, learn on the job, get the experience that he needs, because the only way you're going to find out if he is truly the answer under center and he is the future of football in Foxborough is to get him the reps that he needs. But he was not the only player out there tonight, Andy, that was trying to win a job, that was trying to get a start, that was trying to establish himself, that was trying to secure a roster spot. There were a lot of other guys on the roster that was close to 90 players. Some guys even signed just a couple days ago out there trying to make plays tonight. Who would you say tonight on the whole? I had teased it a little bit in the previous break by saying, I thought Jamichael Hasty looked pretty good. I also thought Antonio Gibson looked pretty good in his limited action. Kind of nice to see the old third down back being deployed on that screen pass early on with Jacoby Brissett. So I liked what I saw from Gibson, but he's definitely a roster lock. I think Jamichael Hasty is also a roster lock at this point. Who else flashed in all the right ways, and who caught your eye for the wrong reasons tonight as we look to cut down day Tuesday?
So I agree with you on Gibson, and I don't – not even the pass catching necessarily. I think he's run the ball really well all summer. Mm-hmm. He ran the ball well early in this game. He's looked pretty decisive and explosive and – if I'm being honest, I think on the totality of the summer, he's run the ball better than Ramondre Stevenson.
Don't disagree.
be interesting to see if that continues, how that works. You know, the zone running scheme and all that, that may not be perfectly suited for Stevenson. Drake May is obviously on the up list. He's been there for 2+ weeks. He's been there in practice. I thought Jalen Polk played well. He had that one big play. I think he's developing a nice rapport with Drake May, and I think he's developing into a guy where you're like, okay, this might be a second round wide receiver that doesn't go down the bust road that we've seen so many times. Christian Ellis.
Yeah.
Is on the up list for his performance. He got a little banged up later, so I don't know how that will affect him. But he's probably a roster bubble type guy that helped himself tonight in terms of his performance. There were actually a couple of them. The other guy out there, what the hell's his name? The other linebacker, Giles Harris.
Yes, Giles Harris, yeah.
Giles
Harris.
He obviously had the interception, but he was also throwing his body around a little bit. So I think they have some depth at linebacker / special teams in there. The downside, you got to start with the O-line and Scott Peters and Chukwuma Okorafor and just the whole damn thing there. It stunk. They couldn't line up. They couldn't block. They were running into each other. It was chaotic.
It's the ultimate, what would you say you do here?
Yeah, and, you know, just days after Elliot Wolf said good things about the offensive line and he feels like they have a good offensive line, like, that's just BS. You can't possibly feel that.
Pumping their tires because, hey, they decided to finally, thanks to injuries, settle on the Okorafor, So, Andrews, Robinson, Onwenu offensive line, and we thought, hey, I think they may have finally found their solution. This unit's going to gel. This is their best five. No, it's not very
good. Obviously, we don't need to spank the center quarterback exchange, the backup center, that whole situation. I actually didn't think Demario Douglas looked very good. He got extended reps. He reminded me a little bit of Brandon Cooks in the Super Bowl, running around like a chicken with his head cut off instead
of just
getting yardage.
That's exactly what I was thinking, too. Like, why are you looking too hard to try to be a water bug and make a play? Like, catch it, find a spot, go down.
You want to hear a bad stat line? 3 catches on 4 targets for 14 yards, 4.7 yard average. Your long was 16. Your long was longer than your yards total, and you averaged under 5 yards a catch. Bad night, Demario Douglas. Not what we're looking for from you. And Gerard Mayo is on my down list for the offensive line, for the quarterback situation, for the sloppy football team that's been sloppy for a month. And I'm sorry, when a team is this sloppy with penalties, pre-snap penalties, lining up, substitutions on the practice field and on the preseason game field, that's a reflection of the new head coach. And it's hard to imagine. You're just going to be like, oh, yeah, but don't worry. That was August. When September gets here, we'll be fine. All those penalties, all those laps, nah, that'll all be forgotten. So,
yeah, guys, we got 2 weeks to get ready for the regular season. We knew this one didn't count. Yep. This was a warm-up. Yep. You don't really have that time to afford yourself that. Like,
nope.
you're going to get this thing in gear ASAMFP.
Yeah, so all of that that goes into, and that doesn't even get into the talking out of both sides of his mouth and that stuff. I'm talking sort of the actual coaching and respect and accountability that comes from Mayo down through Van Pelt and Scott Peters and, you know, everything that's going on offensively. So they got a very sprint here to get to Cincinnati to get a respectable offense on the field. I don't think it's going to happen, but who knows? They got a couple weeks.
Yeah, I had a couple injury-related questions to get to in a second, but also this. Didn't we make something of, or hadn't we read that, like, tonight could be a pivotal moment for Kayshon Boutte, and did we not see him at all?
He was out there. I don't believe he was targeted once, and he didn't catch a pass.
I'm going to go to the box score again.
Yeah, he didn't catch a pass. He had that. He was trying to block down the field for Joe Milton, and Milton was kind of hesitating, trying to get a block from Booty. He never got it. I think Booty's on the team. I think he's.
I think they'd be crazy
summer.
To let him go.
I think he's had a solid summer for a competitive unit. Thornton to me is on the team. Obviously, KJ Osborne is going to be on the team. Obviously, Douglas is on the team. I think probably Bourne is going to start the year on PUP. So. Yep. It'll be interesting. Polk is on the team. Baker. You know, they're going to have a lot of receivers. Who knows if somebody's got a phantom injury that lands them. Baker, you had a sore hamstring, you said? Oh, okay.
Foxborough flu.
Yeah, I wonder if something like that could happen. And, you know, they're going to have a ton of roster moves, I would guess, Tuesday, Wednesday, like offensive linemen in, wide receivers, guys on the roster, then to IR, claims, waivers. There's going to be a lot of activity for Elliot Wolf and his department over cutdown days.
Yeah, because the defensive line is actually a little bit thinner than I think a lot of people would like to see it at this point. And that brings me to these two injury-related questions as well. And then I want to I've been using as a point of reference your pal, frequent Six Rings and Football Things podcast guest Paul Perillo's mock draft 2.0 from Patriots.com. Have we heard anything on any sort of status update on Christian Barmore, and or what the hell is wrong with Sione Takitaki in the first place that we haven't seen high nor low of him? I know he's on the PUP, but I didn't know the nature of his injury.
Well, Barmore actually put something out on Instagram tonight, like missing this SHI blank.
Mm-hmm.
But I have heard no medical updates. I mean, he was at practice that one day during joint practices, and teammates were like, oh, he's in good spirits. It's the first time we've seen him. But I have not.
Okay.
I think the assumption is he's not ready and may not be mm-hmm. ready. You know, if he ends up ready, that's great. That's sort of a unexpected bonus. But you got to prepare to play without him, which is unfortunate. Takitaki, I do not recall his injury. I forgot.
Yeah.
But I don't know. He's been a disappointment.
Same. Yeah, it's very disappointing that you haven't seen that much of him. Like, it'll be great to get some of these other starters back out there, given, you know, as McCourty had been highlighting, the flexibility that this defense will be able to deploy. But, like, somebody like him, who was supposed to come in as a pass coverage linebacker, very highly regarded coming out of Cleveland, and to not see him to date, you know, it makes you think, like, oh, he's going to maybe have some, I know he's got experience, but he may have some setbacks, and that's not going to get him ready to rock and roll when they're going to need him against a team like the pass-heavy Bengals week one as well. Yeah, real quick, looking at Paul Perillo's mock draft 2.0, three quarterbacks, Brissett, May, Milton, four backs, Stevenson, Gibson, Harris, Hasty. He's got your boy Harris making it there.
Mm-hmm.
Seven receivers, including the six that we previously mentioned, plus Rager.
Yep.
With Bourne on the PUP. So then these guys will have a chance to fight it out, and one of them will likely end up going by the time Bourne makes it back. Three tight ends, Henry, Hooper, Wilcox. Disagree right here, Paul. I think Jaheim Bell has done enough to make the team.
They made it clear rep-wise that they wanted Wilcox to be the third tight end. Bell has made a late push, mostly when all those guys were hurt. He started mm-hmm. getting a lot of extra reps. He was catching touchdown passes in the red zone in practice. He's a really interesting one because he's a developmental guy, versatile guy. Mm-hmm. But, you know, with an extra running back, and he's not really a blocking tight end. He's more of like a H-back. I don't know if there's room receivers. For him. Yeah, I don't know if there's... And you're keeping seven receivers, four running backs. Can you keep him at... I don't know if you can keep him. I really don't. Now, injury status could change some of that. If there's a health issue there, I know he said Hunter Henry would be ready early in the season. So I don't think he's necessarily going to go on IR for a month or anything. But Bell's a tough one. I'm not sure there's room for him.
According to producer Zach Code, Takitaki is recovering from a knee scope. We do not have a targeted date of return just yet, but it's good to know exactly what that was. And real quick, Paul has nine on the line. Lowe, So, Andrews, Onwenu, Okorafor, Wallace, Robinson, Leverett, Jordan. Ugh. Leverett and Jordan didn't do much to help themselves at all tonight. Fornadel, see you later. D-line, Godshow, White, Wise, Equale, Farms, linebacker, eight of them. Jimenez, Giles Harris, McMillan, Uche, Jennings, Tavai, Bentley, Pup, Sione Takitaki. Seven corners. He has Marcellus Dial not making the initial 53-man roster, which is a bit of a surprise. And then four safeties, Peppers, Duggar, Hawkins, and Bledsoe. The kicking job goes to Joey Sly.
Even though he missed a 64-yarder and a 60-yarder, or whatever the hell they were.
Yeah, they were come on. Those are silly kicks anyway.
I'm just kidding.
Be curious to see how that goes. All right, and just like that, Andy, we have finished up another exciting edition of the Six Rings and Football Things post-game show here live on WEEI. We will be back in just 8.5 hours, once again live, 9:30 a.m. on the Fitzy GFY, Six Rings Pod, and WEEI Socials. Jumbo Hart and I will be back here with Devin McCourty for a preseason recap and to get his thoughts on where the Pats stand and what they should do with the quarterback position as well. It's a Patriots Monday tomorrow on EEI, and don't miss Tuesday, 2 to 6 p.m., Arcand and Hart with the WEEI Afternoon Show. Thanks for listening, everyone. You can always get this on the Odyssey app or as a podcast wherever awesome football podcasts are found. Great job, Zach Coe and Nico, back at the studio. We will talk to you guys later. The preseason is over. The next time we do a post-game show, it'll be football that matters. Who's under center for that? God only knows. Thanks for tuning in. We'll talk to you later, everybody.
See ya.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
For track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.